Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And although this recording is not live, because I have a pre-scheduled event, it is fresh enough where the information that we will share today is relevant. Although I've had people go back through the archives, you know, 5, 6, 7 months, even a year, and they go, wow, that was eerily prophetic. So just because we're not like completely live, it doesn't mean that there is irrelevancy to the program. We like to cover topics that are of interest in the present, but also go back and see the things that God forewarned of in the past that we're seeing come to pass today. There's a lot going on, and not all of it on the surface, and not all of it visible, and not all of it readily seen by those who don't know what to look for. But before we begin, I would like to say thank you all for praying for Dumi. If you don't know what this is about, there is a young man who used to be a resident at our orphanage who discovered he had a very aggressive form of cancer. As little as 2 months ago, they gave him zero chance of survival. Basically, the Romanian system at least had written him off. And through some very supernatural encounters, let's put it that way, we got to speak to the most heralded surgeon in Europe when it comes to this kind of tumor. And he agreed to take on the project. He agreed to perform the surgery on Dumi, which was an answer to prayer, to be perfectly honest with you, because it's a hard pill to swallow to be given a death sentence at 21. We started a GoFundMe. You will find it on my blog, mikeboldea.blogspot.com, or you can go and give to handofhelp.com, which will also go towards this. But first of all, those of you that donated, those of you that gave anonymously or otherwise, thank you. You know, it's heartwarming to see that God's people can step up. It's heartwarming to see that not only Blasey Ford can raise $1 million for lying under oath. We weren't looking to raise anywhere near $1 million. Surgery in Europe costs far less than it does in the States, thankfully. We were looking to raise about $40,000 U.S. The whole surgery is around 32 or 33,000 euro, which basically comes out to 40,000 U.S. We're still short of that, but we know that God is able. And because they saw our insistence and perseverance, let's put it that way, they did perform the surgery earlier today, which is Wednesday, September the 4th. And it was more successful than they could hope for. They did not have to excise his entire lung. They only excised a piece of it. They took out two ribs, which had been compromised by the tumor. But all in all, thank God, the surgery went well. Thank you for your prayers. And now the long road of recovery. But one thing I wanted to discuss is the difference between the family of God and those of the world. One of the things that tormented this young man the most when he found out he had cancer, when he found out he had a tumor, when he found out that he was likely going to die, was the thought of being abandoned, was the thought of being left alone. He'd run across other people in the same situation as he, whose friends, family, acquaintances, and everybody else had washed their hands of them because, well, you know, they didn't have the time or the resources or the inclination to spend days on end with a cancer patient. And the thing that surprised him most after hearing all the stories of woe from his fellow patients, and it broke my heart, but it also goes to show how different believers are, is what surprised him is how much time and resources we would give to him becoming better, to him being able to see another year, another 5, 10, 15, 20 years, be married, have children, and whatnot. So he said, "I knew you wouldn't abandon me, but it's still surprising given how many people say they've been abandoned." So this is one of the big differences, I believe, between the children of God and those of the world. Through thick and thin, we stick together. We help out how we can. If we can't do it monetarily, we pray for the situation. And God puts it on the heart of someone who is able to do it financially. It's an amazing thing to be a member of God's family. But for those of you that know the situation, I just wanted to give you a fresh update. He is out of surgery. Surgery went surprisingly well. And they did not have to excise his entire lung. Just part of it. So praise God. I'm not one of those people that don't believe in modern medicine. My brother's a dentist. I believe that God begins where man ends. So when man has exhausted every possibility, when man has exhausted every avenue, that's when God steps in. If you knew the story of how we came to come in contact with this surgeon in Austria, you would realize this in of itself is a miracle, because he is not a man who is easily swayed to do operations for a pittance on orphan children from Romania. He is the best surgeon of his kind in Europe. His docket is full to overflowing. He was supposed to be on vacation during this time, and God stirred his heart. God worked it out where surgery was performed, and the sooner the better, because with these sort of things, you know, time is of the essence. So thank you to all who gave, to all who prayed, to all who plan on giving, to all who continue to pray, because this is what we're here for. I know that some of you know me just as the guy who yells at you on radio or writes articles on his blog or writes books. The other side of our ministry is one of giving. The other side of our ministry is one of charity. We have an orphanage in Romania. We help families who can't afford firewood or have a new roof on their home or build a home. We do all sorts of things, because I am not one who subscribes to the idea that ministry is a vehicle by which one individual can grow rich. I'm not in ministry for money. I'm in ministry because God called me to ministry. Those who know me a little more intimately know that I have a side gig, as the kids like to say. I have my own sort of tent building business that supplies my family's needs. And that is able to put a roof over our home. And so I do out of love what God has called me to do, and it's heartwarming. It's beyond humbling to see so many of you step up, to see so many of you give of your hard-earned money to help out a young man who you've never met. I saw this kid grow up. He's been with us for a very long time. And so the thought of him having no hope and just waiting to die was heartbreaking on a whole new level. So thankfully, surgery was a success. And now I will keep you updated on the blog and on my Facebook page as to his recovery and the things that will occur going forward. Now, let's get into the meat of today's program, because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. I think that the other side has realized that if you can't go in through the front door, you'll have to find a back door. And they're doing it by putting pressure on businesses to do their bidding, basically. One of the things that popped up this week is the fact that Walmart, of all places, plans to dramatically step back from ammunition sales after horrific shooting, in quotes. Never mind that people are getting horrifically murdered in various different ways. People are committing suicide with cigarettes, for Pete's sake. So to say that this is the one thing that Walmart is supposed to be focusing on exclusively is hypocritical for them. Because, hey, guess what? Walmart still sells cigarettes. Walmart still has pharmacies in pretty much every Walmart. I guarantee you they filled more than their fair share of prescriptions for Oxy. But apparently there's no guilt or rumination about that. The only thing that they're concerned with is guns. And again, I speak of this to you often because it is necessary. Understand history. Understand what happened every single time the average citizen's ability to defend himself was taken away. It didn't end pretty. It ended with mass killings, with just horrific, horrific things that men did to other men who were unable to defend themselves. So Walmart is discontinuing sales of short barrel rifle ammunition such as the .223 caliber and the .556 caliber. Again, this is coming from a guy who's not big on guns. This is coming from a guy who's never been to a shooting range, who shot a, what was it, double barrel shotgun when he was, I don't know, 14, 15, and dislocated his shoulder almost. And from that point forward, the biggest thing I've shot was like a pellet gun. I purchased a gun recently to defend my home, as it were, but I've never shot it. I've never taken it out of the box. So I'm a horrible gun owner, if that. But I understand the need for something like the Second Amendment. I understand the need for the average citizen and individual to be able to protect himself. Because whether we like to admit it or not, the law-abiding citizen may turn in their guns if there is a gun buyback or confiscation or what have you. Most of them will. Some of them will not. It will get bloody and people will die. But most law-abiding citizens will turn in their weapons. Guess who won't? Guess who will not turn in their weapons? The criminals. Criminals aren't planning on getting in line and handing in their guns because they're criminals. By definition, they are not law-abiding. And so the only people that will be left defenseless is the law-abiding citizen. However, most of the ruling class, as it were, most of the political class cares not a whit that little Debbie down the street won't be able to defend herself if somebody breaks into her home. Because the only thing they're concerned with continually is acquiring more power, acquiring more control. And once you're able to successfully take away the citizen's ability to defend themselves, well, then government can do whatever government wants to do. What, taxes at 90%? Shut up and take it. What are you going to do, throw stones? We've got armored vehicles and semi-automatic weapons. What do you have? Slingshots? So all these people that are bleeding hearts over shootings are really not bleeding hearts over shootings. Their concern is control. Their concern is the acquisition of power without the average citizen being able to defend his homestead himself or against a tyrannical government, as it's kind of stated in the Second Amendment. And the people that are all for this, the people that are gung-ho about gun confiscation, are the self-same people who will not be affected by it because they have bodyguards that are armed. You know, as soon as Kamala Harris's and Joe Biden's bodyguards give up their guns, then at least I know they're not being hypocrites. I won't agree with their position, but at least I'll know they're not being hypocrites. Look, you have 330 million people in a country where especially young men are wholly disillusioned, living in constant depression, trying to basically do away with their feelings by constant consumption of marijuana and other illicit drugs. You have a church that has wholly stepped out of the frame, that is not offering hope, that is not offering peace, that is not offering joy, that's offering what apparently people who've had it for so long are walking away from. The church right now is offering what? Prosperity. The church is offering good feelings, good times, and lots of money. And guess who's walking away from those things? You have people who have hundreds of millions of dollars that have become disenchanted with money, that have become disenchanted with fame, that have become disenchanted with the lifestyle that they've been living, and seeking out what the church ought to be providing, seeking out what the church ought to be offering, which is Jesus, true peace, true life, true joy. I'm reading articles of very famous people going to church services and breaking down and weeping. I'm reading articles of very famous people denouncing fame and fortune, while much of the church is still beating the same old drum. Come to Jesus and you'll prosper. No, come to Jesus and you'll have purpose. Come to Jesus and you'll have joy. Come to Jesus and you'll have peace. Come to Jesus and you will know love for the first time in your life, true love. Not what the world tries to pass off as love, not what the world tries to mimic as being love, but true love. So, you know, we have to take our lumps, as it were. We have to assume responsibility, at least in part, for the current state of this nation and the world. See, it's the same people who mocked and poo-pooed Christianity and Christians that are now coming around to the realization that a godless nation is not only a more violent nation, but it's a more chaotic nation. And again, I come back to this point because it's a point worth repeating, and it's a point that you will see play out. Things are going relatively well for most people. If you want a job, you can get a job in this country. And these things are still happening. Imagine when the worm turns. Imagine when things will not be as easy as they are today. Imagine knocking on 10 doors and saying, we're not hiring, and not being able to put food on your table, and not being able to pay your rent. So this will only escalate. Because a growing number of people are feeling hopeless and disenfranchised and disillusioned. But back to Walmart, because if they've started down this path, I guarantee you other retailers will too. And once all the retailers stopped carrying guns and ammunition, the next obvious target is going to be gun stores that sell exclusively guns and gun manufacturers, because these people have an agenda and they're not going to stop. So, CEO Doug McMillon announces the changes following two deadly shootings at Walmart stores over the summer. Walmart said Tuesday it will discontinue all sales of handgun ammunition and sales of short barrel rifle ammunition that can be used with military-style weapons following two horrific shootings at Walmart stores this summer. Now, again, this whole thing about military-style weapons is a farce. There's no such thing as automatic weapons that are legally sold within these United States. What's military style? Well, the military carries handguns too. That's a broad spectrum sort of definition, is it? Military style. Even a K-bar knife is military style. We're going to, what, outlaw knives too? But see, nobody thinks through this. It's emotional reaction. That's all it is. There are mentally unstable people in this country, perhaps more per capita than in other countries, because in other countries, people have had to fight to survive. You know what? Disillusionment comes about readily when you have everything handed to you. When you don't have to work, when you don't have to sweat, when you don't have to bleed, when you don't have to be concerned about basic necessities, your mind starts to wonder. You know that old saying, idle hands are the devil's playground? Well, they are. I'm not seeing mass shootings in places where people have to go scrounge in the dirt for warm so they can make some warm stew, because their entire focus is on survival. We've created a society that does not want God in its midst. We've created a society that is self-centered and hedonistic. And we are reaping the harvest of the society we've created. The latest thing I saw was, and again, I hope it's true. I pray it's true. But part of me thinks it's just positioning. But Benny Hinn came out against the prosperity movement. I know. Shocker. Yeah, I'll give you a few seconds to go grab a glass of water and just splash it across your face. Somebody forwarded me this, and it's actually on YouTube. Benny Hinn will no longer say, make a vow of $1,000 to break the back of poverty and all that other nonsense. He says he's matured. I don't want to think this way, but I've known of this man's theology, let's say, for a very long time. And although I want to believe that he's had a true change of heart, although I want to believe that indeed Benny Hinn has walked away from the prosperity kerfuffle, I think he's just positioning himself because he's realizing that it's going nowhere quick. The entire thing is a non-starter. And so now, yes, he will no longer say, make a vow of $1,000 and break the back of poverty. But there was a time when he pretty much delegated all those who opposed this sort of message to the depths of hell, calling them Ichabod and ungodly. So, you know, everything with a grain of salt. But if it's a true change of heart, then I would expect that Benny Hinn or Benny Hinn Ministry start making remuneration and refunding all those that have contributed under the guise of being blessed financially if they do. Do you think that'll happen? Pray tell. Somehow, highly doubtful. But back to Walmart, because it is the biggest brick-and-mortar retailer in the nation. And these are supposed to be good old boys from Arkansas. And if they've given in to the pressure of limiting gun sales and ammunition sales, it's very likely that not only other retailers will follow suit, but that added pressure will be put on Congress to act, as it were. Again, for those of you that still weren't seeing how we could possibly have civil war in this country, here is yet another powder keg, and everyone flicking matches at it. Now, Walmart will also stop all handgun sales in Alaska, marking its complete exit from the handguns category. The biggest retailer in the world also is asking customers at Walmart and Sam's Club to no longer openly carry firearms in stores in states where open carry is allowed unless they're authorized law enforcement officers. Open carry legislation is currently on the books in more than 26 states. Dan Bartlett, Executive Vice President of Corporate Affairs, said during a call with members of the media. So what Walmart is saying is this: please shop at our stores. If you do have a concealed and carry permit, don't bring your gun inside in case some lunatic walks in. You'll be like a fish in a barrel, and you'll get killed in a Walmart. But hey, at least you followed our policies. At least you did as we asked, and you became a nice little victim. How dare you have the misconception that you have the right to defend yourself? How dare you have the misconception that if you are a law-abiding individual who does have a concealed carry permit, you can walk into Walmart with one? How dare you? Now, look, this is going to end badly, as all things done in haste and from a point of emotion tend to do. How many billions of dollars would you sue Walmart for if you had a concealed carry permit, you left your gun in the car, and some nut burger walks in and shoots your wife, and you know that you could have done something, you could have at least shot back, you could have defended yourself had it not been for Walmart's policies? How many of those old men in the vests who are Walmart greeters are going to get accosted by people who are, you know, dead set on walking in with a gun because they have a concealed carry permit? Are they going to call the cops? Is there going to be a standoff in a Walmart because somebody who's legally carrying a gun walked into Walmart with one? Nobody's thinking this stuff through. We're getting more agitated. We get fed up quicker. They say that the average person loses their patience after 16 seconds. This is a new thing, because this society that we've created, the I want it now, I want it my way, and I want it right away, has consequences. Nobody understands the value of patience anymore. Nobody understands the value of taking a breath, thinking something through, and then, you know, calming down. Everyone reacts viscerally. Everyone says whatever's on their mind. And I'm sorry, some people's opinions aren't worth verbalizing. But see, everyone's equal on YouTube. Everyone can have a say. Some people are just stupid. I'm sorry, that's the reality of it. Some people should just shut up. But they won't. And it's these people that are the most vocal. And that's the scary thing. See, the people with reason and logic, the people that can actually verbalize an argument, are too busy providing for their families and going to work and doing things that need to get done. It's these people that have no social skills, or at least not enough social skills to hold down a job, that are standing out in front of, courthouses saying guns kill people. No, they don't. People kill people with guns. People also kill people with knives. People also kill people with cars. People also kill people with arsenic. Somebody killed somebody else with a flower pot because they dropped it on their head from the 16th story of a building. Are we going to outlaw flower pots? OxyContin's killed more people than guns. Why is Walmart still selling it? But we don't want to talk about these things. We want to react emotionally. Well, that's it. Got to get it done. Outlaw every gun. Well, but you're punishing a citizen who's been law-abiding. You're punishing a citizen that has had no quarrel with anyone else or with government, and you're saying to that citizen, because there are crazy people, you no longer have a right to defend yourself or your family. So, this is their justification. We believe the opportunity for someone to misinterpret a situation, even in open carry states, could lead to tragic results. We hope that everyone will understand the circumstances that led to this new policy and will respect the concerns of their fellow shoppers and our associates. You know what? None of the guys that went nuts, none of the guys that were responsible for mass killings had open carry permits. Isn't that a shocker? None of them. None of them were responsible citizens. They had rap sheets. They'd applied for guns and they were rejected because they had something in their record that sort of made them unavailable or unable to possess a firearm. But this is the country we're living in. You can get a gun anyway. I can go to downtown Chicago and come back with a trunk full of guns. How are we going to fix that? Well, we just got to punish the citizen. That's what we have to do. More and more, punish the citizen. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of this because it's just ludicrous. And I think there is going to be blowback against Walmart. And hopefully it's big enough where either they rescind their new requirements or other retailers will go, whoa, we don't want to lose 20% of our business overnight because, you know, we told people they can't defend themselves anymore. Now, have no fear. Things are headed in the right direction, though, because back to school day in Arlington, Virginia, included gender-neutral sports uniforms and preferred pronouns. This is where we're headed. It's only getting darker. And the church? Nowhere to be seen. We're still riding the prosperity wagon. Even though, you know, the smart ones have started jumping ship. See, because that's why I'm back at this, because it irks me. That's why I have a hard time believing in the sincerity of Benny Hinn's repentance over the prosperity message. Because he's among the smarter ones. See, I think he saw the tide turning. And I think he got ahead of it. And unless he's willing to make right for the past 20, 30, 40 years, however long he's been bilking people, then allow me my skepticism, please. Now, if you happen to live in Virginia, congratulations. Children heading back to school in grades K through 12. So from kindergarten to 12th grade in Northern Virginia on Tuesday will now fall under sweeping transgender and gender nonconforming policies pushed and put in place by groups such as the Human Rights Campaign and the Arlington Gender Identity Allies. The University of Michigan reported on Arlington Public Schools' new policy implementation procedure, which includes using preferred pronouns and gender-neutral sports uniforms. Now, what happens if a teacher misgenders one of the kids? Do they get fired? Can the parents sue the teacher and the school district for emotional duress because little Bobby thought he was Becky, and with a slip of the tongue, the teacher called him Bobby? Do you realize the lunacy, the depths of lunacy to which we've sunk there will come a point whether, look, there will come a point where either the pendulum starts to swing back to rationality and normalcy, or where even people who don't believe in God per se will start praying for fire to rain down. Understand, but by the time this whole saga is done, by the time the history of this nation is written, there will not be one soul who will look upon its judgment and say it was unwarranted. I know that's not popular, but neither was standing against the prosperity message 20 years ago, and here we are. I'm going to repeat what I said. There is not one soul who will look upon the judgment of this nation and say that it was unwarranted. The PIP, which is the Policy Implementation Procedure, affirming transgender and gender nonconforming students is essential for the safety and privacy of students. How so? Because we're talking K through 12. So, thankfully, my oldest daughter is now in kindergarten. So, but if she were in the 10th grade, and a boy pretending to be a girl walks into the locker room and starts disrobing, and my daughter sees things that will rob her of her innocence, who exactly do I complain to? Do I hunt down the kid myself? Because the police isn't going to help. Hey, it's the law. It's the new policy. It's the PIP, Arlington Gender Identity Allies policy. What happens when a girl gets raped by a boy who is pretending to be a girl in the locker room? What happens then? Because hormones are hormones. And I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of boys feeling like girls when they realize they can get a peek in the locker room for free. This is beyond madness. We have reached a territory where self-destructive tendencies are culminating into chaos. And look at what one of these people said. The PIP affirming transgender and gender nonconforming students is essential for the safety and privacy of students. Emily Vincent, a parent who likes the new policy, said in the Spartan Newsroom report, their gender identity does not pose a risk or danger to other students. So, Miss Emily Vincent, other than being a parent, what qualifies you to determine whether or not their gender identity does not pose a risk or danger to other students? Because you were quoted. What qualifies you? Because if we look at aggregate data, we realize that yes, there have been adult males dressed as women who tried to violate girls in the girls' bathrooms at Target. There's a lunatic out in Canada pretending to be a woman that's trying to get waxing places to give it a Brazilian, who's also putting together non-chaperoned meet and greets with young girls and talking openly about truly vile things in the process. So, Miss Emily Vincent, you of renown, what qualifies you? Tell me, what qualifies you to come to the determination that gender identity does not pose a risk or danger to other students? That's why they have the boys' bathroom and the girls' bathroom. That's why they have the boys' locker room and the girls' locker room. Because the old saying is, boys will be boys, even if they're wearing a dress. So what qualifies you? You absolute buffoon of a woman to say that this will not pose a risk. I guarantee you, and look, I hope it doesn't happen. I'm not praying because this is not something I'm going to pray for. But I hope it doesn't happen. I guarantee you it will. And I guarantee you they're going to try to just kill the story the first time and kill the story the second time. But eventually the stories will start to flow out. Where girls have been violated, where girls have been manhandled, where girls have been groped, where transgender boys have exposed themselves to girls who didn't want to see their, you know, bits and pieces. So how does it not pose a risk or danger, Miss or Mrs.? I guarantee you she's a single mom. Guarantee you. Because any father who had a daughter who heard his wife said that would slap the taste out of her mouth. How dare you? How dare you speak for every other parent in that school district? Well, no, it doesn't pose a risk or danger. A year in the making, the PIP was introduced by Assistant Superintendent Dr. Tara Natras. The PIP will include updates to facilities, including gender-neutral bathrooms and locker rooms, as well as non-gender-specific dress code and preferred pronoun additions to student files. Look, we're so confused. We're so mentally ill that it's not going to take, I don't know, what people are expecting, a rogue asteroid to destroy humanity. It's not. Look, if this keeps going on, if these things continue to progress and it metastasizes from Virginia to other states, if we start teaching kids as young as kindergarten and pre-K that there's no such thing as male and female, between the suicide rates, the absence of child having, and the deterioration of culture itself, we're going to die out as a species in 500 years. It's not going to take an asteroid. We're going to be the dinosaurs, baby. We will destroy ourselves because we are allowing people with mental issues to dictate policy. See, since when? I'm sorry, I know. That's so selfish of you. Why does my child have to live with seeing a boy's tackle in order to accommodate that boy? Why do 100 students or 1,000 students or 10,000 students have to be put through this sort of thing in order to accommodate one or two? Tell me that. Where are their rights? Where's my daughter's rights? To feel safe in a locker room, to feel safe in a bathroom. Riddle me that. I'm sick and tired of these protected classes who are in a minute minority. 1%, 0.5%. Dictating to the rest of society that we have to bend and acquiesce and tolerate and embrace and validate your perversion. I do not. I don't have to validate it. I don't have to tolerate it. I don't have to embrace it. So here are some details of the PIP that were included in the university's report. Bathrooms and locker rooms. Access to facilities that correspond to a student's gender identity will be available to all students. Single-user gender-neutral facilities will be made available to all users who seek privacy. Co-curricular and extracurricular activities and athletic team students' participation. Student may participate in any co-curricular or extracurricular activity consistent with their gender identity. So this will be the last time a biological female will win any race in track or any wrestling match or anything that is a single person co-curricular activity. So all you dads who have daughters out there, how do you feel about that? See, because me, I got daughters. I understand that psychologically it's probably easier for guys who have sons to swallow this. But I've got daughters. And so I don't know how I would be able to contain my outrage. If I saw a boy pretending to be a girl beat the snot out of my daughter just because his gender identity is female. This is going to end badly. Every single thing we're doing is going to end badly. And the reason is because we have removed God. That's it. It's as simple as that. When you drill right down to it, this is what godlessness begets. This is what godlessness creates. This is the society that is molded in a vacuum where God does not exist. So all students, this is now the dress code, all students must dress according to the constraints of the dress code as outlined within the school handbook. Information regarding appropriate attire for school-related activities shall be not gender-specific. How's that? I mean, kilts? Is that what they're going to wear? Are they going to wear kilts? That's like the only thing that's non-gender-specific, isn't it? Because you can call it a skirt, too. Arlington Gender Identity Allies is pleased with the steps that Arlington Public Schools is taking to welcome and affirm transgender and gender nonconforming students. Do you see how quickly we leapfrogged from gay rights to now gender and gender nonconformity? Because what, 10 years ago, the whole thing was, well, gay students need to be accepted. It's not a choice. Well, apparently, wouldn't you know it? Scientists, I know, boo, science. Scientists keep coming up with things that really depress the other side. First of all, science says that you have two genders, male and female. Well, no, that's an opinion. No, that's science. I'm sorry, that's not an opinion. It's science. The second thing that science recently discovered is that there is no such thing as a gay gene. So even though acclaimed scientist Lady Gaga said that you're born this way, guess what, pumpkin? You're not. There is no such thing as a gay gene. Now, question. Why the explosion in homosexuality and all these other fringe perversions? Well, let's ask Cardinal or former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, who is a pedophile of renown, who perhaps knows all the other pedophiles within Catholicism because apparently they have their little cabal. And this man is getting airtime. We talked about the scandal of thousands of children being abused by Catholic priests. Now, this is a man who was defrocked for that. Former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick continues to maintain his innocence, haha, in the first interview he has given since being sentenced by the Vatican last July to a life of prayer and penance. He should have been sentenced to a life in prison. Ruth Graham traveled to Victoria, Kansas in August to interview McCarrick, who was subsequently found guilty of sexual abuse by a Vatican tribunal and reduced to the lay state last February. If a Vatican tribunal finds you guilty of sexual abuse, you are guilty of sexual abuse. The only comparable thing is that if the special counsel investigation found Donald Trump innocent, he is innocent. Because those people didn't want to find Donald Trump innocent, and I guarantee you the Vatican Tribunal didn't want to find a priest guilty. So the evidence had to be overwhelming for them to go, we can't. You did it. You're guilty. Asked whether the different accusations of homosexual abuse were true, McCarrick denied them, employing a curious turn of phrase. I want you to hear what he said. Understand that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Abused children become sexually broken. They tend to gravitate towards either homosexuality, transgenderism, and other things. And this was the man's reply. I'm not as bad as they paint me. I do not believe that I did the things they accused me of. So, what he's saying is that I'm a bad guy, just not as bad as they say, wink, wink. And what do you mean you don't believe that you did the things that you're accused of? He didn't say he didn't do it. He doesn't believe he didn't do it. But hey, we're living in the age of live your truth. So that's his truth. He doesn't believe he did it. Now, the denial was reminiscent of earlier statements released by the cardinal in June of 2018. And this was his reply back then. While I absolutely have no recollection of this reported abuse, I believe in my innocence. What kind of convoluted political doublespeak is that? I have no recollection? You do. You do, you evil, evil man who will burn in hell, and rightly so. You do. You should be in prison. You should be in prison for life. But this is where we've come to. This is where we are as a society. Your children are being sacrificed on the altar of tolerance. Your children's safety is being sacrificed on the altar of tolerance. And I don't care if one dimwit mom feels as though they're perfectly safe. When the stories start coming out, one after the other after the other, well, you know what they'll say. You're racist. You're bigoted. You're transphobic for pointing out the reality of what is happening. So when they commit crimes, we're supposed to look the other way because of their sexual orientation or depravity. Will anyone look the other way if you commit a crime? Again, important question. Because if justice isn't equal for all in this country, then more and more people are going to get disillusioned. More and more people are going to act out violently. And more people are going to die needlessly. There's a lot that I wanted to cover today, but it seems these are the only two topics we have time for because our time's almost up. And by the way, Obama and Biden were briefed on the private Trump meeting before Comey fed the details to the FBI team, just so you know. So this entire stink burger goes all the way up, to the tippy top, as one Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is fond of saying. It goes to the tippy top. And the attempted coup that subsequently failed, I have a feeling that the tippy top was also looped in as well. Again, I would ask that you please continue to pray for Dumi. If you are able, please continue to support. We're still short of what we need to raise for the surgery. But my brother Daniel flew out, and he was with Dumi during the surgery. And my brother Daniel is very convincing. He has a gift about him where he can talk people into doing things. So they did the surgery, and like I said, it went better than anyone expected, and we're just thankful to God. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. May God bless you. May God keep you. And may you be wise in the choices that you make. That's pretty much all I've got to say for today. Gino, if you've got anything, the floor is yours. God bless.
Yes, thank you so much, Mike. I just want to reiterate again what Mike said about the GoFundMe project. Please go to the handtohelp.com website and also Mike's blog, Homeward Bound, Blogspot. And we are putting the fundraiser on our Facebook page, Hand to Help Facebook page. I just want to read the story about Dumi a minute, if I can, so you understand a bit about what we're trying to do here. Dimitri grew up at the Hand to Help orphanage. He was on the fast track to becoming an independent young man. His passion for electronics landed him a full scholarship at the University of Engineering and Robotics. Throughout his time at the orphanage, Dumi, as the children of the orphanage called him, he loved worshiping God through his guitar playing and was quick to befriend everyone. He continues to be a role model for the younger boys at the orphanage. His clear path to a promising future came to a screeching halt in January 2019 when he noticed a mass growing in an area that he'd injured during a fall a month earlier. Expecting it no more to be than a fractured rib, the news of him having to get a CAT scan came as a surprise to Dumi. With medical treatment in Romania being less than ideal, and with no one understanding the extent of the pathology growing inside of him, it took 3 weeks to get him a CT scan. When the results came in, it caught everyone off guard. Dumi was in stage 4 cancer, later diagnosed as stage 3. The staff and children wept as one big loving family. All of his dreams and ambitions were shattered in one single day. Further testing proved the mass to be growing at an alarming rate, and chemotherapy was started. After 6 rounds, we're grateful that Dumi was able to travel to Vienna, whereas Mike said he had his surgery. This is Dumi's story, and we want to urge you, please go to the GoFundMe page. It's under Life-Saving Surgical Treatment for Dumi. You can Google that and help wherever you can. And just keep our ministry in prayer and Dumi in prayer. As well, Friday night, pray as we do a prayer and worship event at the State Capitol in Madison and lift up Jesus' name in an hour when it is his name is the only name of importance in seeing our world change. God bless you all for listening to The Light of Truth.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com. or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all